Around the Grounds. Sydney veteran Ted Richards.
Five past eight, RSN 927 Sports Heaven with Michael Christian and Mick McGuan. And I'll tell you what, we've got to give it to our next guest. He's one of our regulars right through season 2016. Star for the Sydney Swans, Ted Richards. But despite a fractured cheekbone, Mick, he still had the time, and he tweeted it yesterday, to get the marker out and measure the 50-metre arc at the SCG. Ted Richards, good morning.
Hey, Michael. Hey, Mick.
G'day, Teddy. Now, that's not doctored, is it?
Now, the problem is, I should have done this 4 weeks ago when we first started talking about it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, everyone now thinks I'm measuring out to try and make sure that, you know, I show you that the goal I kicked 2 weeks ago was actually a 50-metre, but it's totally irrelevant to what we were speaking about 4 weeks ago. But, yeah, it is 50 metres.
I think there's some alignment there because I actually measured it in flight. I thought it was about 33 metres.
Oh, this is going to be an ongoing saga.
Now, I can't believe you're out, mate, after that game against West Coast. You kicked goal of the day and took mark of the day in the pouring rain. I mean, that was two of your outstanding highlights, and you're not playing.
I know. Yeah, so hit this nice, handy patch of form, and now I have to sit out for the next 2 weeks. So, only one more week and I'll be back against Richmond.
How are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm feeling good. And I'm trying to view the positives to the fact that, like, it's only being a cheekbone, it's only quite minor. So I can still do weights. I can still run. And it's a long season. So, you know, being the age I am, it's quite handy just to get a little bit of a rest if you can.
Now, mate, that wasn't you sitting in the first row at the Gabba that sent the stretcher out at the end of the game just to disrupt things on the weekend, was it?
Or blew the whistle?
Nah, what about this saga that just keeps on going? I was watching it on TV. You know, I was back in Sydney watching it on TV, and I genuinely had concern for Sinclair that he might have done his knee. So I can understand the bench yelling out, "We need a stretcher, we've got to get him off, he's in pain," and... but I can understand that the Lions are frustrated because I can see their point of view too.
Well, I think Justin Lepich, he did retract what he said about Sinclair falling over because he was hit pretty hard by Darcy Gardner. And I think the AFL have also admitted, Ted, that the emergency umpire blew the whistle too early. And that's what created the frustration from Brisbane's standpoint, I reckon.
Yeah, I'm hoping this is a one-off. This is, you know, something where I think the person did yell out for the stretcher, had Sinclair's best interest at heart and was, you know, trying to do what they could to look after him. But it was just jumped the gun, unnecessary. Yeah, it was a mistake, but we can move on.
Teddy, on the back of what Justin Lepich said, was the club at all offended?
With referring to that, it might have been a set play.
Yeah, tactic, yep.
Yeah.
Because it gets discussed, that type of stuff, whether we like it or not, behind your four walls. Can you give us something for the public to see what did take place?
I haven't spoken to any coach about it officially. I think we've all kind of moved on. It would have been the most incredible set play if we were smart enough to pull something off like that. But I can understand. Like I said before, I can understand Lepich's frustration, you know, at the heat of the moment, losing a game by 3 points. No, I think I haven't heard any talk like that.
No, I mean, at the end of the day, as I said, I mean, if the emergency umpire hadn't blown the whistle, we wouldn't even be talking about it.
And the reason why he might have blown the whistle, would the medical staff have... Sydney went to him to alert him of the situation and they just got the rules wrong, the umpire.
The umpire got the rules wrong, simple as
that.
Yeah,
you can kind of see it was just a couple of mistakes in a row, but everyone's concern was Sinclair at the time.
Yeah, for sure. Teddy, you were watching in Sydney. Were you out of the seat in those final few minutes, mate? Brisbane played some fantastic football just to stick. It looked like they were done a few times, but they just kept hanging in there.
Oh, yeah, I'd be lying if I said I was out of the seat the last few minutes. Like the whole game, we couldn't. Yeah, you know, we'd kick a goal and maybe get two goals in front, and then Brisbane were good enough to claw it back quite quickly. And it was kind of such a, because of the conditions that we're playing, it's such an ugly, ugly game and such a scrap. I thought, with probably about 10 or 15 minutes to go, I thought, gee, you know, if you're holding the lead at 10 minutes, that might be enough. Like, it's, we've seen get close games already over this season where with 3 minutes to go, the other team's able to kick two or three goals. But in this case, it just wasn't the case. So, an ugly game, hard to watch. And luckily, we got through it with the win.
Ted Richards is with us from the Sydney Swans, RSN 927 Sports Heaven.
Teddy, give us a detailed description of the young man that played on the weekend, Aaliyah.
Oh, so Aaliyah's story and how he got to Australia, let alone AFL, is incredible. Born in a refugee camp in Kenya. I think the family then moved to Sudan and were able to find their way to Australia and, you know, live a happy life. And full respect that Aaliyah's then being able to learn this new game, AFL, at whatever age, and get to a level where he's been selected as one of the best in the country. I think the family originally moved to Brisbane, then they moved to Perth, and Aaliyah was selected from the Western Australian state team. And Aaliyah's now in his third year at the club, and being able to chip away and just consistent improvement, and the coaches have recognised it. And it was great to see.
Yeah, it's a great story.
We don't want him to play too well, though, Ted, do we?
No, Michael. It's an ongoing concern that you've always got to have, especially, you know, when you're sitting on the couch watching the game at home and your team wins by 90 points. You go, gee, what a great win, but it's very hard to make a change there.
I think Aaliyah is safe, Chris. If Teddy keeps kicking goals from 70 and taking hangers, I reckon Buddy's the one that might be worried.
Oh, we could find a spot for Buddy in the back line.
Oh, he wouldn't pick up a $100 note, please. Let's talk Nick Smith, mate. He was ruled out the day of the game. Will he play this week against the Bombers?
Yeah, I think so. I spoke to Smooch yesterday, and the plan is to check to see how he trains on Thursday. We've got a short week this week. We're going from a Sunday game to a Saturday game, so he hasn't run yet. He'll run Thursday. All goes well, he's right to play.
Mate, another issue that's a big topic of discussion down here is obviously the Northern Academies. Will they survive? How important are they?
Yeah, the Northern Academies, I think it's pretty biased to only view them as just a feeder to the Swans or to whatever team. They're actually a great carrot for young kids to retain talent and stay in the AFL world when you're 15, 16, 17, when you've probably got to go from playing, I don't know, two sports and start to pick one. I popped out to our academy last night and did a bit of work with a 17-year-old, but Sydney kid that, is pretty raw, but we've been able to kind of steer away from rugby union to AFL. Now, I've got no idea if he's going to be good enough to get selected, but the Isaac Heaney story is a great story, but there's a reason why Isaac Heaney did go to rugby league at the age of 15. He stayed with AFL, and that is because of the academies.
Now, it's a valid point, isn't it? I suppose the big issue from a, not so much a Sydney standpoint, but a GWS standpoint is the hold they have on all the kids in the Riverina, which has traditionally been an AFL heartland, and they're getting some significant benefits. But it's funny, Ted, that this sort of talk only starts happening when the team starts going well.
Yeah, and you know, we'd love it if there was an Isaac Heaney every year, but we've been fortunate enough to have two incredible years, consecutive years, and we've been able to get a cut on Mills. And if we had two or three players like that in the same year, there's no way that we'd be able to retain them all with the approaches that other clubs would be bidding for those players. So, you know, just because they might be in our zone doesn't mean that they're a certainty to always come to the club. I think I read that GWS have got quite a few guys coming through in the next few years, and it may be hard for them to retain them all.
Teddy, talking GWS, should they play their finals at Spotless if they qualify high enough?
Yeah, I think they should. if there's no contract in place and with ANZ or anything like that, you want to play where you, as a club, you think you've got the best advantage, and there's no doubt GWS play really good footy at Spotless, and I think it'd be a shame if they were forced to play somewhere else.
And Ted, as we let you go, you are aware in drug testing there's an A sample and a B sample, where we're going to apply that same philosophy with your 50-metre measuring. You've done the A sample. You need to go back, mate, and just do it again, because we don't think you've got it right, all right? Now, that cheek might just be affecting the way you're focusing. So B sample, please.
All right, B sample. The thing is here, I'm testing myself, so...
Yeah, it's never going to happen.
But all right, we'll do a B sample, and if you're lucky, I'll do it with a 30-centimetre ruler.
Yeah, a bit of blurred vision, I reckon, Ted.
Good on you, Teddy. Mate, disappointing that you're not playing, but well done. We haven't spoken to you since that West Coast game. Fantastic stuff, so we look forward to seeing you back in that Sydney lineup in a couple of weeks. Good on you, mate.
Oh, thanks very much, guys. Ted.